right center net.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here it goes, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, let's hit it. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Happy Monday. It is Monday, September 23rd. Welcome to this hour from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and the Hot Stove Lounge. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at Calgary Lock and Safe. com.
You are fired up.
Hey, it's a you're
fired up.
We got a home game on
Holy smokes.
Preseason game number 2 and 3.
I love it.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
What's going on? It's Steinberg and Wes. How we doing? Happy Monday.
Yeah, we're good. We're good, buddy. Happy Monday to you. Can we make an announcement? I don't know if Vix is listening, but I think people should know you and I finished 1-2 in Flames Talk fitness testing this year.
Yeah, I think that everybody knew that how it was going to go. I think there was pretty clear 1-2 and then a 3.
Sorry, buddy.
Poor Vix. No reason for these strays. We spent last hour, the first hour of this Monday show, talking about who really impressed in the preseason opener, which went on Sunday night in Seattle. Flames win 6-1 over the Kraken. And the biggest takeaway, more than anything else, were the individual performances. I heard Logo talking earlier on Monday on Sportsnet Today about Matt Coronato and how special he looked. And yeah, he was. I think he was the best player on the ice. And he had a really nice performance from Sam Hanzek. You know, a Dryden Hunter, a Clark Bishop, bubble guys, they really played well in net. How could you not love what you saw from Dustin Wolf in his first game? You know, the result and how lopsided it was, in the end, that is essentially irrelevant for when games start to matter. But the individual performances where guys needed to set a tone and start things off well in the preseason, you had a lot of check marks there. And one of the guys who maybe led the way in that, if it was Matt Coronato up front, it was Hunter Brustevich on the back. And we wanted to spend a good chunk of this hour talking about Hunter Brustevich and this blue line situation the Flames find themselves in. Braden Pahal is going to join us here in the Hot Stove Lounge a little bit later on this hour. But Hunter Brustevich was really good on Sunday night. Comes away with a couple of assists. He was dynamic. He was involved at both ends of the ice. He got both ends of special teams in. That was a real nice first ever preseason game for Hunter. He did not get into preseason action last year as a member of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and I thought that was probably the most impressive part of it is that we easily could have been sitting here talking about a guy who looked totally overwhelmed, and it wouldn't have been a big deal, right? Going up against a lineup that had Matty Beniers and Jordan Eberle and
Jared McCann.
And
a couple of defensemen.
Yeah, you know, we're not talking about a murderer's row, but there were a bunch of established NHLers in that lineup. As you said, Hunter Brustevich got sent back to the OHL last season by the Vancouver Canucks without a preseason look. I know he was excited to get in one. And so there was lots of reason to think that last night we might have been watching a guy who looked nervous or looked overwhelmed. And I think in a different way we saw a lot of the poise that really is starting to set Hunter Brustevich apart as a prospect. Like, this kid is poised, he's cool, right? Like, we've talked to him a bunch of times. There's an amount of swagger there. There's certainly some confidence there, but this is just like a pretty calm, cool kid, and he's certainly a lot better prospect than folks in Vancouver wanted to make him sound like the night of that trade.
Yeah, and that was the thing that you heard a lot of after the trade when Lindholm got sent there for, what, the 5 pieces that came back for the Flames. 5 pieces? I guess it could have been 5. No, it was
5.
Yeah, it was 5 pieces.
Yeah.
And so they bring back Brustevich as the top prospect in the deal. And, yeah, you heard a lot of, he's – points are great in the Ontario League, and he was en route to leading the Ontario League in assists last year and ended up being number two to Zane Parekh in defense scoring with the Kitchener Rangers. And you heard a lot of, lots of offense, but limited, not good defensively. He's probably a third pair guy in the NHL at best and a power play specialist. That's kind of what we heard from the outside and what a lot of Canucks fans were talking about. And they may be right. We don't know. It's still early on. He's 20 years old. But, boy, what we've seen from him through Young Stars, what we've seen through from him in training camp skates, what we've seen from him now in one preseason game, you know, the defensive game doesn't look like the train wreck it was maybe made out to be. And that has definitely been something that I have noticed in a couple of games watching him play.
Yeah, it's something, I think we've chatted about as well, is just the when you and myself and Vixie did our roundtable on Friday, we were talking about the way he was defending in the first couple practices and, you know, the way he was able to swat quite a few pucks away from maybe unsuspecting established NHLers because of how quickly he was closing. And just, you know, I think there's a level of understanding there of what his skill set is and what it's going to need to be. And there's a chip on his shoulder as well from hearing, oh, well, he's not good enough at defending. Oh, well, defending's going to hold him back. Oh, well, he's a B-list prospect. That, I think there's a lot of fuel that he's gained, but so far, and listen, a guy at his age trying to make the jump to pro hockey, and I think it's important to stress that's a climb that is going to start in the American Hockey League. There's going to be tough nights for him, but I think the skill set there is pretty unique. I think this is a guy who has a real bright future ahead of him.
You notice a couple of things over the weekend when talking to head coach Ryan Huska. So we went and pulled these clips. We'll start on Saturday after practice here at the Scotiabank Saddledome when I believe it was Brendan Parker of Flames TV who asked him, hey, who just are some of the names that have jumped out, you know, some of the young players who maybe have impressed you so far? And he said, well, I'm not so good at saying his last name, but we just call him Brew. And here's what the head coach said Saturday about Prestevich.
He seems to me like he's comfortable on the ice. I will say that he's fitting in really well. He reminds me of a young Rasmus Anderson, if there's a comparison, where they both have poise to their game. They often see the next option through the first option. So I've been really impressed with the way he's played. So he's one guy that just comes to the top of my head right now.
It's not a bad guy to be compared with from an NHL head coach. Hey, to, you know, possibly the best defenseman on the team. One of the guys in the next few years who's probably in line for a big contract wherever he signs it. To be compared to Rasmus Anderson, you'll take that if you're Brustevich, and if that's what he turns into, Flames fans will take that all day long.
Yeah, and it's not just the comparison, it's who it's coming from. It's coming from Rasmus Anderson's former coach in the minors.
Yep.
So a guy who certainly knows where Rasmus Anderson was at early in his career and where he needed to get to, and it's coming from the guy who more recently has run the defense at the Saddledome. Ryan Huska, before he became head coach, was the guy who kept tapping Rasmus Anderson on the shoulder for the first of three consecutive seasons that he led the team in average ice time. And now as head coach, he's continued to give him more responsibility. So, yes, I think the comparison carries a lot of weight, but also who
yep.
it's coming from says a lot to me. And
because Husk would have seen Anderson right at this age and right at this development stage and all that type of stuff.
And something that I pointed out as
both
well.
Both highly skilled guys coming from the OHL.
So that answer from Ryan Huska where he starts talking about he's fit in very well. The question from our buddy Brendan Parker was, hey, is there a young guy who's really impressed you or a young guy who's really stood out? And Pat, you and I have been hanging around here a long time. Coaches hate that question.
Yeah.
Right? I shouldn't say they hate the question, but coaches are always hesitant to single out a young guy for how he's looked in practice. They're always really hesitant to single out one guy from a crowd. And so I thought just the fact that Ryan Huska was willing to go down that path really spoke volumes. And not only did he compare him to Rasmus Anderson once, but when I asked him a question about Brustevich yesterday, he doubled down on it.
I think a little bit is the pace of the game, learning how to close quick, and over time, the more you're in those situations, whether it's practice or games, the understanding how to position your body against a guy that's 230 pounds, and that's going to come into play for all the young guys, really. And as I mentioned yesterday, kind of reminds me a little bit of Rast. Once you start to understand the pace that you have to play at consistently, I just see him as a defenseman that is going to keep getting better and better.
Back-to-back Rasmus Andersson comparisons. Both you asked him, the clip we just played, you talked about his defensive game and kind of how where he's going to need to develop and what are some of the areas. We know how poised he is with the puck. We know how good his first pass is, all that type of stuff. But what are some of the areas maybe away from the puck he'll need to develop? And that was his answer. And again, compared him to Rasmus Andersson. So again, I think you like those comparisons if you're the Brustevich camp, if you're a Flames fan, yeah. All that type of stuff.
What was encouraging for me last night and what I thought was a really strong performance from Hunter Brustevich is it didn't come alongside a veteran safety blanket. Right, he spent most of the night as partner to Jeremy Poirier, another young guy who's known for his offensive abilities, whose offensive upside has put him where he is on the Flames prospect list. Like those, we're talking about throwing two guys who, if there's a knock on them, it's been their defensive work. Well, Hunter Brustevich gets paired with Jeremy Poirier. We're not talking about here's a Jake Bean or here's a Mackenzie Weegar to make you feel comfortable in your first time out there. And I just think it's the poise, like nothing seems to rattle him. And again, we're early in it. We didn't see him in training camp last year because that was obviously in Vancouver. But there's a calm and cool that I think is going to serve Hunter Brustevich really, really well as a pro. And if this Canucks fans and writers, if this is what a B-level prospect looks like, I think the Flames are pretty happy with that haul.
Yeah, you're pretty certain American League is where he starts. By the way, Brustevich is one of a few guys who played junior last year who is eligible to make the pro turn this year. If you're in your 20-year-old junior season, which is all based on birth date, you're eligible to play in the American League for the first time for a regular season. You're always eligible to play in the American League after your junior season comes to an end, but the CHL-NHL agreement prohibits anybody outside of their overage season playing full-time in the AHL. So Jaden Lipinski, Sam Honzek, Hunter Brustevich are all three players that are eligible to make the turn to AHL hockey this year. So they've got some options there. Mm-hmm. And I think on the Brustevich front, he has nothing left to prove in the Ontario League. His 92 points and league-leading assist total. Yeah, I think we know what he's capable of doing in the OHL with Kitchener. So he's at the very worst in the American League. Does he have an outside shot of making this interesting? Here's what I said on Sunday night on our postgame show. I said, if Hunter Brustevich makes it so the Flames don't feel they need to sign Tyson Barry, that's good news. Mm-hmm. And that's not a shot at Barry, who's going to make his Flames debut as a PTO on Monday night and in the home game against Edmonton. But if they're like, you know what, Brustevich is a right side guy, we're really happy with the way this thing is going, and with Soloviev or Tenorti or Pahal or whoever the case may be, we feel that we've got enough depth there. We don't feel we need to sign Tyson Barry. That's not a bad thing when it comes to your organizational depth.
Yeah, absolutely. And to answer your question about am I convinced he starts in the AHL, I do think if we're talking about a fully healthy team and there is some uncertainty around Kevin Ball since he hasn't been on the ice yet, although it sure sounds like he'll be on in the next day or two. But mm-hmm. I think if we're talking about a fully healthy blue line crew, Hunter Brustevich is guaranteed to start in the A. For me, and I understand the excitement about getting the young kids into the lineup, and this is the fun part of a rebuild from a fan perspective.
For sure.
Is the hope that you get. The Rasmus Andersson comparison almost cements the fact that Ryan Huska thinks, hey, like, I see where this is going, But the I see a lot of similarities to a young Rasmus Anderson also says to me, while I'm aggressively paraphrasing the coach at this point, it also says to me, it's going to take a little bit of time.
Rasmus's first two seasons in pro hockey, he played 11 games in the NHL, and he played 110 in the American
League. Yeah. Now, Rasmus had some well-documented fitness concern. Like, the team
hey, you watch your mouth when you're talking about number four.
The team did not like where his fitness was at earlier. I think the world of Rasmus Anderson, that's not a secret. Hunter Brustevich doesn't have that.
Yep.
And so, you know, is he going to need 110 games in the minors? I don't know, but I think he's going to need some. All I'll say is young stars practice, what he showed last night. He has really quickly made a positive impression here in Calgary.
There's zero doubt about that.
Yeah.
I'm really curious. I just wonder if, like, could he be a guy that maybe does make things a little mm-hmm. interesting?
You'd love it, wouldn't you?
I think what I know about the head coach's fondness for a guy we're going to hear from a little bit later on in Braden Pahal. I mean, Ryan Husk is a big fan of Pahal, loves the way he competes, loves his attitude, loves a lot of the things that Pahal's all about. And so I think right now the third spot on the right side is Pahal's to lose. That's kind of if I were to do a power rankings of who I think has got the best shot of locking down the number six defenseman or third pair right side guy to start the year, my number one would be Pahal.
Mm-hmm.
But Brustevich taking a healthy run at it, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I think what you'll maybe get is a true indication of what the Flames sort of see as where Hunter Brustevich fits long term. Like, I think if you believe he's going to be a top four defenseman, and certainly I see that potential in him, I think you're not afraid to have him on your top pair in the AHL instead of supplanting a guy on the third pair with your NHL team. Now,
so playing 12 or 13 minutes in the NHL as opposed to playing like 22 minutes in the American League.
In
a very good league.
I'd love to see, and not, you know, having all the puzzle pieces in front of us, I'd love to see Artem Grushnikov and Hunter Brustevich as the Wranglers' top pair playing 24, 25 minutes a night with special teams. I'd love to see that as the very first important step of the development for Hunter Brustevich, who hasn't, just to remind everybody, has never played a game of pro hockey.
Yep. He's now played one preseason game.
Yes.
Of pro hockey.
I only count the official ones.
How does this, okay, when we take a look at this blue line, a few things that I think are really interesting to point out when talking about how this roster is going to come together through training camp. The Flames have zero salary cap concerns. They don't need to worry about banking cap space. They were going to be banking so much cap space on a daily basis, it won't matter.
Yeah.
So they can easily carry the full 23. They don't need to worry about
being
21 or 22.
I'm not going to have to text Piker and ask what the LTIR situation is.
No, they will not be dipping into LTI this year. So they can do 14-7-2, or they can do 13-8-2. Hell, they can do 13-7-3 if that's what they want to do. They'll have the ability to carry the max. That's not going to be, and if they got to put a few guys on IR and like they won't have cap concerns. So it makes the blue line conversation really interesting. Do they go 7 or do they go 8 out of camp? And depending on what number they go with, where does that have certain guys fit in? Like, I have a hard time seeing, even if Brustevich or Parekh or Poirier aren't in the conversation, I'm still having a hard time finding how Tyson Barrie fits unless they carry 8D. Because with Tenorti, who they signed, and with Pahal, who they like, on top of the 5. So am I fair in saying the 5 would be Uyghur, Anderson, Miramanov, Ball, and Bean? Like,
yeah.
Those 5 are in, and you can pretty much pen them in when healthy into the roster or into the lineup?
Based on what I saw from Jake Bean last night, yes. The only ones coming into camp, I wrote this a few times, the only ones I was willing to put in pen every night were Anderson, Weegar, and Ball. I did think Miramanov had something to prove, and I still believe that. Obviously, getting a look with Mackenzie Weegar becomes the front runner for a top four spot. I think Jake Bean still has something to prove to say, like, hey, I'm going to be that guy you can't take out, but you have... Yeah, you have the same names as I do on the list, just who's on maybe what side of the pen-pencil debate, I think is a little more open. But I agree with you that it's going to be challenging for Tyson Barrie, and a lot of it I think is going to come down to, you know, does Cale MacLean pound his fist on the desk and say, this is a guy that I really would like to have on my power play. But I think there's some redundancy there with what sort of Tyson Barrie's strengths are and what you have both on the team and in the organization. And I do think that while he hasn't had a chance to even wear the jersey yet, we'll see him tonight. I do think that Tyson Barrie is in a little bit tough to crack this roster. Where do you stand on that one?
I mean, I think they brought him in for a reason. I think that they are going to give him a long look. I also think that Barrie might also be looking to see if there are other teams that he might deem closer to playoff ready that might be interested in bringing him in. All I know is that Barrie's got a ton to play for, whether it's here or another market. The guy's got a ton to play for, but
he will play in the NHL this season.
I think so. Yeah. I think he'll end up with a job and be on a roster for sure. I don't know if it makes the most amount of sense here, mm-hmm. unless they run into significant injury issues over the next couple of weeks, because the five we mentioned, you know, if Pahal's not an everyday guy, fine, but you probably, like, you claimed him off waivers. You like him. I don't think you want Pahal in the American League necessarily. I guess you could go Tenorti in the AHL if you really wanted to. And then you've also got Solovyov mm-hmm. and Brustevich and guys like that who would like to have eyes on an NHL job as well. It just seems like such a logjam already before you put Barrie on a contract. We haven't even mentioned Joel Hanley in this conversation.
Right, and the challenging part for Tyson Barrie is, okay, well, what's going to be your calling card? If we sign you to a contract, what's that element? And we are going to have an interesting conversation with Braden Pahal about figuring out what your fit is and what your role can be. So Tyson Barrie, what's your calling card? Well, it's offense and power play. And, you know, yesterday I watched the first team power play run through drills, and Mackenzie Weegar was not surprisingly quarterbacking that unit. They had Rasmus Anderson and Tyson Barrie splitting time with the second power play unit. You're going to see Miramanov get a look. And so, you know, if Weegar and Miramanov and Rasmus Anderson can quarterback the power play, what's getting Tyson Barrie in the lineup if you sign him? And, you know, we saw last night what would get Braden Pahal in the lineup, right? He brings some snarl. I know there's not a ton of fighting in the NHL anymore, but what sets Jared Tenorti apart from the other potential guys is if you need someone to, you know, be willing to butt heads with an enforcer on another team, well, that's the guy who's going to do it. Tyson Barrie is not doing that for you. Yeah, you know, I think there's a challenge just based on the fact that we didn't mention him to, you know, okay, well, how does Joel Hanley sort of distinguish himself? Where's he fit? You know, how does Ilya Solovyov show that he should play more than the 10 games he got in a year ago? It gets really, really crowded once you get to that third pairing, doesn't it? And it's going to be interesting. It's a good problem for the Flames to have because, you know, you'd rather be picking two from six than trying to figure out which of these six, you know, can actually do it. But they've got a logjam there. There's no doubt about that.
Read some texts at 960-960 on this conversation. This says, is it easier to teach a defenseman to play defense later on in their career or to become offensive later on in their career? I think definitely it's easier to get a guy to hone in defensively. If you don't have the offensive instincts, I remember Ray Edwards telling me 2 or 3 years ago when talking about Jeremy Poirier. Ray Edwards is Calgary's director of player development. He said, what Jeremy Poirier does, his offense, you can't, his instincts, you can't teach. And you never want to lose those things. And I don't think you can teach a guy who doesn't have them how to have those high-end offensive instincts, right? Whereas I do think you can add a little bit more defensive responsibility to a real high-end offensive guy's game.
Yeah, and I think at some point you're finding middle ground, right? You're not going to teach a guy who had 10 points in junior how to be your power play quarterback and to rack up points from the blue line. You're also not going to teach a guy who's go, go, go on offense how to be, you know, like the shutdown stalwart who, you know, might as well change off when the puck leaves your zone, right? So it kind of, I think you can move a guy from really strong at one to relatively strong at the other, but you're not doing a 180.
Yeah. This says, nothing wrong with a mid-pair guy that's a regular on the power play. That's a solid NHLer. I agree on that front. This from Dylan and Revy says, Brustevich is the prospect I'm most excited for easily. This guy is calm and cool, really dialed in, offensively brilliant, and has started to prove he isn't going to sacrifice defense for offense. Very good defensive stick and positioning. Also, can't Morin move to the American League as well? No, he cannot. Again, it all goes on birth year. So, Lipinski, draft year and birth year are different. Draft year and eligibility year are different. It gets super confusing.
Yeah.
But when determining eligibility to play in the American League or not, it all comes down to birth year. So,
and I think I've said that Morin could play in the AHL. I had that wrong for a while. So if I've created some confusion there, my apologies.
You should apologize.
Yeah, he's got to go back to junior.
So, because Morin's an 05, he's a 19-year-old. Lipinski, Hanzek, Brustevich are all 04 birth years, which means they're considered 20-year-olds or overagers in the in major junior hockey in the CHL. And that's not me trying to mansplain or anything like that. It's just, I have to explain that to myself sometimes because it's so confusing. And this says, Hanley's a waiver dump. Pahal isn't a scrapper in my mind, but he sure throws the body, which I like. That comes from Colin. Text line open, as always, at 960-960. Love to hear from you on Flames Talk.
One more text. Our buddy Aaron Vickers texted me, ouch. So I just want to say, if AV pulled something on his way to the rink.
Oh, oh my God.
I hope he's doing all right.
That bus is in fourth gear, running him right over. You have something to say?
Thanks, Wesley. It's been a pleasure.
Now, sometimes it's all you can say. Vickers is here in the Hot Stove Lounge as a cameo. Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg, this hour of Flames Talk underway. You can get Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon. Go hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Steinberg and Wes along with you as we continue from the Dome on this Monday edition of Flames Talk. And I think we both took notice of the stat line on Sunday night's Hardest Working Flame. Megan Mickelson named Braden Pahal the Hardest Working Flame and also the Hardest Hitting Flame. How about 8 hits in the 6-1 win over Seattle? He was an absolute wrecking ball in his preseason opener for the year. That was for a guy who probably knows he's on the bubble, that was a solid preseason debut in 2024 for Braden Pahal.
Yeah, and I really liked the pair, too. I thought he and Jake Beam looked like a group that could be a third pair that you'd be quite happy with on an every-night basis. Braden Pahal was a guy that I thought did a lot of good things after being plucked off the waiver wire. I thought, you know what he's going to bring. It's going to be that physicality. He's going to be a guy that can help you in shorthanded situations. You know, he's going to certainly play a little bit bigger than his size. And he's not small, but he's not an imposing physical presence. And I thought last night was just a really good showcase of the things that he can bring.
Yep, agreed. I thought it was a really solid night for him. And a little earlier on Monday here, Pahal is not playing in either of the split squad games. So he played on Sunday night, will not play in Edmonton or at home here to the Oilers in Calgary. So he gets the night off. So he was in the third group getting his workout in today. And he joined us in the Hot Stove Lounge following his skate on Monday afternoon.
Take us back to last night. Eight hits when it's all said and done. Did it feel like eight hits? Like after the game, did you feel like you'd laid that much of the body? How did you feel after your first preseason game?
Yeah, it felt good. I think, I wanted to go in there with a be physical mentality. And, I think the hits just kind of came to me last night. The play was, it started with a good gap and the play just kind of developed into those hits. So it was nice to get back in some game action last night.
Kind of felt like the whole group had a pretty good be physical mentality. Hey, that would seem like right from the get-go you wanted to set a bit of a tone to open the preseason.
For sure. I think everybody wants to make an impression, and a good way to do that is to be physical and play hard. So it's a part of hockey, and I think that's going to be an identity of our team a little bit this year.
It's funny, we were talking to Ryan Huska a little earlier and somebody asked about you, and he basically said like that's Braden. He's never going to take anything for granted, a guy who has claimed off waivers, and you know that mindset's always going to be there. I'm curious as to your perspective on that. I mean, you were a regular upon getting here last year and are right in the mix this year, but how much of that, whether it's, you know, chip on the shoulder or always kind of fighting like you need to win your spot, how much does that kind of drive you on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's huge. I think that's my mindset every day. Every day in the NHL is a great day. And I was in the minors for a long time, and I got my opportunity last year in Vegas to start, and then obviously being able to play here and kind of show what I got. But it's definitely not taking anything for granted. NHL is an amazing league, and every day is a privilege to be here. So it's, you know, my goal this summer was to show my impression, build off last year, and yeah, hopefully stay here for a while.
Take us. So where do you spend your summer? Are you back home or what?
Yeah, I'm back in Saskatchewan. So Esvan, Saskatchewan is my hometown, but yeah, I got a cottage about an hour away from there.
So take us into the summer. You talked about a couple of focuses for you. How'd the summer go for you?
It was huge. Obviously I had a short summer being with Vegas, their whole playoff run, but this summer was really important. I wanted to make sure I got my strength back and coming in as best shape as possible so I can give myself the best opportunity I can to make this team.
So the did you change up the routine in a big way?
Not really. I've kind of stayed the same pretty much my whole career. I've had the same trainers, same ice sessions with the same guys, so I kind of stick with what's working.
Yeah, we're chatting with Braden Pahal of the Flames here in the Hot Stove Lounge. Wes?
I know, Braden, you're not a guy who takes it for granted. You just finished saying that. But can you tell us how the mindset changes when you've played a full season in the NHL, when you've started to establish yourself as a guy who can be tapped night after night, just what the mindset is then coming back for the year after that?
I think it's just a big confidence swing. Obviously, everybody's goal is to play in the NHL, but realistically, you don't really know how you're going to fit in until you play. And, last year getting the opportunity here and proving what I can do night in and night out and, being able to show the coaching staff and management that I can help this team win each night, I think it just gives you that confidence that, you belong and you can, handle your own at the NHL level.
Do you have a better sense than maybe it was last fall, maybe it was two seasons ago? Like, do you feel like you have a better sense of the kind of exact ingredients you can bring that do help a team have success at this level?
For sure. I think each player has a role on a team, and I know what my role is, and I know what the coaching staff and my teammates expect out of me every night, and it's just have to be consistent in my game and do what makes myself successful.
I'm always really curious on how a player looks at it. Like, Pat and I are going to sit here for hours and talk about, hey, there's 10 guys on the blue line for six spots, or there's this many guys, you know, there's three goalies for two spots. Whatever the sort of numbers game is, you know, we love to talk about it. Do you think about it in that context at all, or how do you approach it?
My approach, honestly, has been, you know, this summer, it was whatever happens is all out of my control. The only thing that I can control is myself and putting myself in the best position I can to make this team. And the rest will take care of itself. You know, all the rest of that stuff is out of my hands. But control what you can control. And, you know, that's just focusing on myself and my game.
In that context, you sit on the bus or on the plane last night and say, okay, well, that's a good start to my audition. I feel like I've started to put the right foot forward here.
You bet. I think last night I did what I needed to do. I stayed within myself and played my game. Now it's just a matter of cleaning things up and making sure everything's crisp, because you know, that's my role, is to just get the puck moving and be a physical force and defend well. So that's what I'm going to do and continue to focus on throughout the camp.
I don't know if you kind of remember similar experiences on the other side of the coin, but, you know, when you're one of two veteran defensemen and you've got kids that are getting their first taste of preseason NHL action, you know, there's some of the kind of regulars in the opposing lineup. Do you do anything to try to keep the younger guys calm? Do you say anything on a night like last night?
You know, I think those guys handled their own amazingly. I think the first little bit was a little scrambly for both teams, but once we kind of got to our game and got settled into the game, it was fun to watch those young guys play. But I think for me and Beaner, it was just a matter of controlling the back end and making calm and easy decisions like we would in a normal game. It was no different. You know, preseason, regular season, you have to have the same approach.
You come to this camp and you know you're under contract, you know you're going to be in Calgary. How much more settled do you feel wearing that jersey or that logo compared to kind of the scramble of getting claimed off waivers and having your life uprooted, all that type of stuff? How much more settled do you feel right now than, say, 6 months ago or whatever it was?
Yeah, it's a lot easier coming back with a little familiarity within the organization, within teammates. So it's good to see everybody after a long summer, and I think we're all just really excited to get the season underway here.
The word that you hear from a lot of people, whether it's been Mantha or Cooley, or it doesn't really matter what position, that O word, opportunity, keeps on being tossed around. Now that you're here at camp and you've got a preseason game under your belt and you see the guys around you, just how would you characterize that opportunity and that opportunity for yourself?
Yeah, I think the opportunity is huge. You know, each time you come to a camp, your goal is to make the team, and it's no different for me. I think you have to take advantage of every time you're on the ice for practice. You have to make sure your details are, you know, honed in, and when you get in a game, you got to show what you got, and I think that's what I did last night. I tried to be physical, and I tried to stay within myself, so I'm happy with the way it went and just have to keep progressing here.
I know that, you know, a lot of the conversation when it comes to you, it'll be like, well, he's fighting for that third spot, right side D, or whatever the case may be. But what about for you? Like, you just turned 25 last month. Like, we're not talking about an old guy. There's still a lot of development, it feels like, when it comes to your age. Like, how much more do you feel you have to grow, and how much more can you progress in your eyes?
Yeah, I think you know, somebody needs to be a third pairing defenseman in the NHL, and I think that's a pretty darn good job description. So I think for me, it's just a matter of making sure that I'm that guy, and I want to be that guy here for a long time. So it's, like I said, it's just cleaning up my game and making sure things are, you know, I guess just perfecting my game, and I think that'll give me a good chance to hopefully get some stability and stay in this league for a long time.
That feels to me like such a great way to look at it. Like, do you think that helps you sort of stay in what your strengths are, as opposed to like, hey, I'm going to audition for PP2 here?
Yeah. Know,
but this is who I am, and I'm pretty comfortable showing I can be that for a long time.
You bet. I think we talked about roles a little bit, and I know what kind of player I am, and I know what I need to do to be successful and, you know, ultimately help the team. So like I said, it's just a matter of cleaning things up and perfecting my game. I'm not going to change the way I play or step outside of the box. I think, you know, third pairing is a good description, being a reliable shutdown guy night in, night out, and contributing on the PK when I can.
What's tonight look like? Not many guys get the split squad off. Well earned for you after all that weight you threw around last night. But what's tonight look like?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of rest of body over the next couple of days. It's been a tough week here. So you got to take advantage of the rest when you can. And definitely going to come watch and cheer on the boys as a fan tonight.
Have the practices, you know, guys are talking about the pace and how intense they've been. They've definitely looked that way from our vantage point, but how have they been compared to other camps you've been to?
Yeah, I think they feel just as they look. It's been intense camp. It's been fast, but it's good. I think the more that you push yourself in practice, the easier it's going to get in the game, and I think you kind of saw that from us last night. Our habits were good, and we were doing everything the right way, and it definitely helped us.
How do you like the buzz around the team and kind of that feel going into a new season?
Yeah, it's amazing. Obviously, you know, your goal is to come in and win hockey games, so it's no different for us. There's a lot of outside noise, and it's on us to just kind of, you know, close that off and, you know, trust in each other and trust in the process. So that's what we're going to do.
Thanks for doing this, hey. Enjoy the night off.
I appreciate it, guys.
That is Braden Pahal, joined Wes and I a little earlier here in the Hot Stove Lounge on this Monday. He knows his role, hey? Like and not in the not in the rock way, like not know your role, shut your mouth, but he knows his role. He's like, hey, I'm being a third pairing guy in the NHL isn't the worst job ever, and sometimes there's something to be said for staying within yourself, hey?
Yeah, especially because if Braden Pahal wants to start being something different than a third pairing defenseman, he's not going to be in the NHL. Like you can appreciate a guy who realizes why he's here and what's going to keep him here. And I think that's what really struck me about that conversation we had with Braden is like, yeah, this is a guy who I'm sure has sized up the numbers on the blue line, and he knows exactly how he can differentiate himself from some of the other options, and it's precisely what we saw last season after he joined the team and precisely what we saw last night in Seattle.
Appreciate the chat with Braden Pahal, who joined us here in the Hot Stove Lounge a little earlier on this Monday, and that'll start to wrap up this hour on Flames Talk. Little Monday hour wrapping up. Wes Gilbertson on Twitter, at Wes Gilbertson. Cam Hughes, our producer this hour. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.